One constant that has been a part of Conyers First United Methodist almost from the very beginning has been this church has been a place of sending forth into ministry. There have been countless, and we really don't even know the number of pastors and preachers and missionaries and lay witnesses that have come out of this great congregation. Perhaps it began with Leona Glenn. She was a missionary many years ago at a time when women didn't do that sort of thing, went and served in Brazil, and you all that know Conyers First know that story. I do know that in North Georgia, in a North Georgia Annual Conference right now, there are eight to ten pastors that were either grew up in this church or they received their call in this church or they were nurtured in some significant way at some place on their journey at Conyers First United Methodist Church. As I talk to other colleagues about that, there's no other church I know of that has that sort of history of sending pastors into the North Georgia Conference, and that is something that you know that we can be grateful and thankful for, and continue to do. Two of them, yes. Go ahead. Two of them serve just down the road at Greensboro. One of them is Hugh Hendrickson, who we lovingly call Bubba, who is minding the store this morning. Because Mike Morgan, who grew up in this church, is here to preach for us today. And I'm excited about that. I did want to take just a second. His dad is many of you know, is Tommy Morgan. Where's Tommy? Tommy. And he also has other family members, sisters, and all that are here. If you guys could stand wherever you are and let us recognize you where you are. Thank you very much for being here. And so, Mike, welcome home, and come preach the word for us.
Thank you, Dave. I am absolutely delighted to be here with you at Conyers First United Methodist Church on this momentous occasion. And it is a very good thing to be able to leave things at Greensboro First United Methodist Church in the capable hands of the Reverend Hugh E. Hendrickson. For those of y'all who know Hugh, I gave him the choice when he came on as associate pastor at Greensboro a little more than 2 years ago. I said, do you really want to be known as Bubba or do you prefer Hugh? And he said Hugh would do just fine. So we know him as Pastor Hugh, but many of y'all know him as Bubba. And Dave, it is a blessing and a pleasure to have been invited by you to be here with y'all. Now, I grew up in Conyers, Georgia, and that means I'm Southern. In fact, I went to school with Holly Hunter, and the Academy Award-winning actress who has a marked Southern accent, and as far as I know, the only picture she's won the Academy Award for yet was one where she didn't talk. Just saying, but the Southern accent is real because I am a native of Conyers First United. I'm native of Conyers, Georgia. I wasn't born in Atlanta. I was born at Rockdale Hospital. I am truly a native of Conyers, Georgia. It was a little stone building at that time that was, I think it had eight beds. Not eight beds in the maternity section, eight beds total. But I'm here to tell about it. So, and Conyers First Methodist Church. When I first started out, we weren't even united. I guess we were united, but it was before the Methodist Church merged with the EUB Church to become the United Methodist Church. That happened along the way. This is indeed my home congregation. Is it time to get out already? I hear the bell. Oh, that's the Presbyterians next door. Well, that's all right if they beat us to lunch, because our lunch is here, right? Okay. This is my home congregation, and the nurture and heritage and legacy of faith that I have received here literally began even before I was born. My parents, Tommy and Caroline Morgan, became members of this congregation when they moved here to Conyers from Valdosta as newlyweds. And likewise, my maternal grandparents, Sally and J.H. House, Jr. Some of y'all may even remember them. Yes, my grandfather was J.H. House. He's got a school named after him here in Rockdale County. He was superintendent of schools. Some of y'all even may know him as Skipper House. They were members of Conyers First United Methodist Church. And I myself, along with my sister Molly, who is up there in the balcony with many members of our family, were literally raised in this church, weren't we, Molly? This was our stomping grounds. This was our place of religious formation. I myself not only attended worship and Sunday school here growing up, but I also came to kindergarten here. Miss Dixie Paget was my Sunday school teacher and my kindergarten teacher. And I guess that meant for 6 days a week when I was 5 and 6 years old, I was here at Conyers First United Methodist Church, if not more. And it is here in this very sanctuary, in this very room, that I was baptized into the Christian faith. Waters from that very baptismal font, unless they've replaced it since then. and it was here that I became a member of the United Methodist Church, confirmed into full membership in the United Methodist Church. I stood right there at that altar. I knelt at that altar and then stood for everyone to greet me and pinch my cheeks and that kind of thing. I was with a confirmation class, but my family was out of town the Sunday designated as Confirmation Sunday, so I had to come back the next week and do it all by myself. And I was scared to death, but I will never forget that moment because I was baptized on that day as well, and the presence and power of God's Holy Spirit was in this place and has been in my life. During my teenage years, I became involved in the United Methodist Youth Fellowship, the MYF here at Conyers First, and that's when I probably first began to incorporate the heritage of faith that I had received as a child into my own identity as an emerging adult and a man of God. And even after graduating from college, I participated along with Karen, who was then my wife-to-be, in the young adult ministry here at Conyers First Methodist. So I go back a ways and have benefited from the ministry of this church throughout my life. Here in this sanctuary is also where my mother Caroline's funeral service was conducted and where my father's subsequent marriage to Donna was celebrated. This is a very, very special place to me. And it is here in this place that I would like to share with you a very special greeting from the Apostle Paul. I feel good about bringing greetings from the Apostle Paul because I've been with him of late. That's right, my wife and I have recently returned from a Journeys of Paul trip into the Mediterranean world. I think Daryl Huckabee recently led one, and Dave, you were a part of that as well as some others. We just missed y'all, by the way, and they said, Are y'all from Georgia, too? There was a group here that was kind of rowdy, but we had a very similar excursion to the one y'all participated in, following in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, and it was an amazing and wonderful experience. Daryl will be glad to show you all his pictures and talk to you about it, and I will, too, if you got time. But I want to bring you this morning a greeting from the Apostle Paul from the second letter of Timothy. This is a word of greeting and encouragement from the Apostle Paul that I think is important for all of us here today. So I'm going to be able to stand for the reading and the hearing of God's holy word. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Do y'all know Timothy? You know Timothy, right? Timothy, the person to whom the Apostle Paul actually addresses this letter. Timothy is Paul's younger protege, Paul's colleague in ministry. Timothy is the one the aging apostle refers to as my dear son and my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. Timothy is the young missionary who accompanied Paul and Silas on their journeys to Thessaloniki and Corinthos. I learned to say those when I was on my trip. I learned to say it like the Greeks do. Kalimara, yeah? Then there was the whole Italian thing, but I won't go there. But that's where Timothy accompanied Paul and Silas, was Thessaloniki and Corinthos. Indeed, Paul entrusted special responsibility for ministry to the Thessalonians to young Timothy, whom Paul also referred to as our brother and God's servant in the gospel of Christ. Timothy, much like yours truly, has benefited greatly, has been blessed by a heritage of faith handed down to him from future generations. Timothy, the son of a Jewish mother and a Gentile father, was already a disciple of the Lord when he first met Paul in his hometown of Lystra in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. Paul knows that Timothy enjoys a legacy of faith that reaches back through the ages. I am reminded of your sincere faith, writes Paul to Timothy, a faith that lived first in your grandmother and also in your mother, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. Like me, Timothy has literally been nurtured in the faith since the day he was born. And like Paul himself, Timothy was brought up to serve God with a clear conscience, just as his Jewish ancestors did. And like Timothy, I am truly blessed by my own faith heritage. Although I don't have any Jewish ancestry that I'm aware of, I am, as far as I can tell, a bona fide, justified, hoping someday to be sanctified, dyed-in-the-wool Methodist. You don't get much more Methodist than me. In fact, I usually tell folks, I'm Methodist born and Methodist bred, and when I die, I'll be Methodist dead. Which means I'll be in heaven. And yeah, there will be some other folks there too, besides just Methodists. I know, there's going to be all kinds of people there, but the Methodists are going to have their special place, I think. The roots of Methodism and our Methodist tradition run deep on both sides of my family tree. My great-grandfather, James Harwell House Sr., was an ordained Methodist minister who, like me, served on both sides of the Nat line. Y'all know what that means? Daryl does, yeah. means North Georgia Conference and South Georgia Conference. I did the same thing. My great-grandfather was born in Hall County in 1878. And he was admitted on trial to the North Georgia Conference in 1898. And he became a member in full connection of the North Georgia Conference in 1900. He was transferred to the South Georgia Conference in the fall of 1907. And after 3 decades of service below the NAT line, he finally transferred back to North Georgia in 1938. I am truly blessed to be an heir to great-grandfather House's long-time legacy of Christian faith and service. I'm also blessed to possess a biographical sketch that he himself wrote, a couple of them, as a matter of fact, of his life at the end of a long career in ministry in 1941. He sat down at his typewriter and wrote a bit about his life and ministry. And I'm not going to share the whole thing, but I thought you might enjoy hearing an excerpt from great-grandfather House's biographical statement. He writes, "I have served the church 5 years as a local preacher and 41 years as a member of the conference. I never tried to be spectacular. I have tried to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. I have given each department of the church work its proper emphasis and have neglected no side, nor have I played up any part to the hurt of any other part. I have striven to be constructive in my ministry. I have given careful attention to the preparation of my sermons. I took special correspondence courses from Candler School of Theology for years. I was a member of the Vanderbilt Library and made it my business to read a high-class book each week. Some books took longer to read," he says. "I never kept a cheap book in my library. I threw it away or burned it up. I have tried to be a good pastor and have never neglected visiting from house to house. Children and youth have gladly followed my leadership. I never failed to reorganize but a few boards of stewards and leave them better than I found them. The minutes will show a healthy ingathering at every church I ever served. I have never been a howling success, but the minutes will show that I did about as well as anyone who preceded or followed me anywhere." Yeah, he was a part of that Methodist itinerancy. "I was presiding elder of the Valdosta district during the deepest of the Depression. I worked day and night. I never left any stone unturned. It was the most heartbreaking period of my life. Preachers and laymen suffered. Many of us wept and prayed together. We planned and struggled together the best we could. My heart went bad on me during my revival campaign Easter week of this year. I was doing my own preaching. I have now spent more than 2 months in bed. When I saw that I might be a burden upon some local church and an embarrassment, I deliberately decided to retire and so told my district superintendent. Our only son, J.H. House Jr., has bought us a lovely little cottage at Twin Lakes. I hope to get well enough to play and fish and live a long time yet. Our cottage overlooks the lake, and the view thrills me with every look. Our 2 daughters and our son are lovely to us. Our eyes are set upon the eternal city, and we have few regrets and no fears." J.H. House. I am absolutely blessed. Yeah, I'll clap for great-grandfather House. Although I got to know great-grandfather House personally, he died before I was born. His words, and indeed his life, are very much a part of my heritage of faith. Like Timothy, I owe a debt of gratitude to those who came before me, to my parents and foreparents, to all those who have passed down their legacy of faith to me. And each of you here today enjoys a legacy of faith as well. Everybody here has a heritage of faith. Even if your parents weren't believers, someone of faith has nurtured you, has invested in you, has guided you in what it means to become a follower of Jesus. Many of us have fathers and mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers who literally instilled in us faith in the Lord. But everybody has somebody. Perhaps a pastor, a teacher, a friend, a neighbor, another family member, someone who has nurtured you along the way in the faith. And in that way, we're all a lot like Timothy. And we're also like Timothy in another way. You have received the gift of God for ourselves through the laying on of hands. For this reason, writes Paul to Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Yes, folks, the faith of our fathers and mothers may give us our start, but each of us also must receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit for ourselves. That's what I did when I was confirmed into membership, baptized into the faith and confirmed into membership before this very altar. That was my opportunity to name and claim faith in Jesus Christ for myself, the faith that had been passed down to me by my foreparents. That was my opportunity to say, I will follow Jesus. For Timothy, the gift of God was conveyed at the precise moment when the Apostle Paul laid his prayerful hands upon him and ordained him to Christian service. Do y'all know what that feels like? Me too. And I remember in particular experiencing the presence and power of God for myself as the bishop laid his hands upon my head during my ordination service as a United Methodist minister. I was ordained in the South Georgia Conference by Bishop Richard C. Looney. Have any of y'all ever met or seen Bishop Looney? I got to tell you, he's a big guy. He's a big guy. He stands 6 feet 6 inches tall, and he's got great big hands to go with it. And as I knelt alongside several of my South Georgia colleagues during the ordination service at Wesleyan College in Macon, Bishop Looney laid those great big hands on my head and said in his big booming voice, Michael Thomas Morgan, take thou authority as an elder in the church to preach the Word of God and to administer the Holy Sacraments. Folks, from that moment forward, I have known that my life is in the hands of someone much bigger than Bishop Looney. But listen, folks, that was not the first time in my life, or the only time, the hands of one larger than Bishop Looney has bestowed upon me the gift of the Holy Spirit. I am convinced that when the Reverend William Byington laid his hands upon me here in this place, wet with the waters of baptism, that God's Holy Spirit was working in my life, transforming my life in ways I did not even realize at the time. And I believe the same is true for each and every one of you. Whether you were immersed or sprinkled, whether you were baptized as a baby or a child or a teenager or as an adult, whether you became a member of this church several decades ago or just last Sunday, like Timothy, you and I have also received the gift of God's Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands of one of Christ's apostles. And also like Timothy, sometimes you and I still need a little encouragement in the faith. You know what I mean? We need encouragement. We all need encouragement. And that, my friends, is precisely the reason the Apostle Paul penned this letter in the first place. Encouragement is, without a doubt, the reason the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to young Timothy. From behind prison bars, the great Apostle Paul, now bold and battle-hardened, wrote these words of encouragement and faith to Timothy, his youthful protege. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, Paul writes to Timothy, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Now, folks, I can't tell you exactly why young Timothy needed such a letter of encouragement from his mentor, the Apostle Paul. Maybe Timothy was experiencing difficulty in his ministry. Maybe Timothy's church was facing persecution from those outside. Maybe Timothy's church was struggling with divisiveness from those inside. Or perhaps Timothy was simply young and inexperienced and overwhelmed by all the rigorous and multifaceted demands of church leadership and following Jesus. I got to tell you, I know what it's like to need encouragement, and I'll bet you do too. Whether we're experiencing difficulty in a leadership position or just trying to weather the inevitable storms of life, all of us need encouragement. And for Timothy, that much-needed encouragement comes in the form of this personal letter from the Apostle Paul, who was a father figure to his young protege. And Paul's encouraging letter to Timothy, two of them in fact, have been preserved in the pages of Holy Scripture to be passed down to encourage us, all of us, through the ages, all of us who are a part of the body of Christ, all of us who seek to be followers of Jesus, all of us who struggle with leadership positions, all of us who struggle to follow Jesus in the midst of changing times, all of us who are just simply getting worn down by the inevitable storms of life. Paul wrote this letter not only to Timothy, but to us, you and me. So how about you this morning? Could you use some encouragement today? Are you struggling with a leadership position? Are you wrestling with a weighty decision? Are you experiencing difficulties in your job or troubles within your family? Perhaps you're struggling with your health or your finances. Perhaps you're overwhelmed with worry about yourself or someone you love. Maybe you're just trying to weather the inevitable storms of life. If so, I want to remind you of three things all of us share in common with Timothy. Like Timothy, we are all blessed with a heritage of faith passed down to us through the generations. Like Timothy, each of us has also received the gift of God for ourselves through the laying on of hands. And like Timothy, we not only need encouragement, we have it. We have it in the form of these words from the Apostle Paul, and in fact, in the form of all the words in this holy book. For this reason, Paul writes, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Fan into flame the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I could use a dose of that myself this morning. Power, love, and self-discipline. In these changing times in the world, in our nation, in our state, and in our community, I could use more power, more love, and it would certainly do me well to practice more self-discipline. It's mine. I have it. And it's yours. You have it. It comes to us through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. It comes to us through the Word of God. It comes to us as we seek to give ourselves as followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So today, on this 165th anniversary of this great church that has nurtured so many, that has given a heritage of faith to so many, let us name and claim our faith in Jesus Christ. Tell you what I'm going to do. I've been itching to kneel at this particular altar for a long time. And I'm going to do just that. And I'm going to invite everybody to stand and sing. Steve, what's our closing hymn, our hymn of invitation? And
186.
While y'all sing, I'm going to pray. And you're invited to join me.